Hi everyone, this is Grace. Welcome to my podcast, Common Grounds. Although it's just me here, so the only thing common is the coffee grounds that I've been drinking black every day for a month. Oh my. I'm recording this on the trail with Sophie on the walk, so definitely an experiment in acoustics. I learned some hard lessons about echo after the last episode that I recorded in our vaulted ceiling living room. Go on. So this is just another kind of experience. I've heard a couple different ones that were recorded outside that I really actually like the sound of. Get some ambient noise and some like bird chirps and some rabid dogs who want to eat your dog's face. So it could be nice. So I prefaced this in the last one, but today I'm interested in talking about one specific issue that is still about the Whole 30, but that I think kind of like underlines or I don't know, lies underneath. What language am I speaking? Not permeates, not like comes before, but kind of is at the root. A root issue at the Whole 30. Sit down. Sit. I was thinking about like naming it body image, but I think that maybe even a better terminology would be just weight loss. Okay, you're also gonna be able to hear how out of shape I am on this one. So I want to talk about, obviously, weight loss as a factor in the Whole 30, I guess. Also, briefly about my personal experiences, not with weight loss, but with body image. And then maybe, like, more about things that I've been thinking, learning about, and realizing. Not realizing, just learning about recently. Part of why I think this is something that should be talked about on the Whole 30 is because for all of the great things that we like to say to explain like why we're doing something, a regimen like this, we say stuff like, oh, it's just like feel lighter, or I'm trying to find out what foods to avoid or what foods make me feel bad, or, you know, I feel crummy, I feel crappy. I think that at the underlying, got it, core of all of that is the fact that like we all want to lose weight, and we just like use a lot of other words to kind of hide that and pretend like we're about something that's like a little more holistic or like enlightened than just wanting to like be skinnier. So I really tried to be honest with myself about like if that was one of the reasons I was doing it. And I know I definitely didn't like admit to that in the intro episode where I talked about all my different reasons for wanting to do it, but I do think that it bears being said, because even though I've been less like concerned with weight loss and my figure in general recently, I still do think it's like it's definitely like a perk, you know. We all pretend like we're like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna like get so healthy, and like if I lose weight, even better. But really, like losing weight is the core, the primary motivation for why we would ever do something as crazy as the Whole 30. I do think that the Whole 30 creators and in the book, they do a really good job of like trying to avoid this misconception by having guidelines like, don't weigh yourself after 30 days, don't take any body measurements, and don't cut down on portion sizes, especially of things like fats and proteins and the things that if you don't eat them, they're gonna like give you a headache. But things that people will usually try to start eliminating if they feel like they haven't lost enough weight or anything like that. So I do like their approach to the whole thing. And I also think that just the conception of it in general is that it's a diet. So people say like, all the time. Like, oh, you can have bacon on the Whole30, or like you can have raisins. And they're kind of incredulous because those are the things that have led us to believe that are either going to, on the one hand, make us really unhealthy, but even more so, maybe, make us look unhealthy, aka gain weight. And so, people really understand the Whole30 as just being like an elimination diet, and that kind of the point of eliminating things from your diet is to like eliminate parts of yourself so that you get smaller. So yeah, I kind of want to just like address that whole issue. The whole issue of weight loss. No. But kind of talk about like the internal shame of body image, and then also moving towards the external shame of body image. I don't want to use the term body positivity because I've never really been like super much of an advocate or like a proponent or an ally or anything of body positivity, so I really can't say that I know much about it at all. And then what I've been like learning recently is basically the ways that it's been co-opted by people who really are not the intended beneficiaries of a movement like body positivity, and people who are already like have bodies that are treated very positively in society. So I don't want to even label this monologue as such, although I'm sure that I'm going to get into some of the themes that are like really central to that whole discussion. But okay, like I said, I want to talk a little bit about myself just as kind of an intro to talking about like body image as a whole. So when I was younger, I'm sure that every girl can say this, that, you know, when I was younger, I had some pretty like disordered ideas about my own body and, what it was supposed to look like and my job in making sure that it looked that way. And I would say disordered just because like they were wrong, not based in reality or fact or truth, and also like interfered with my like regular order of life. So I used to do things like fast from sugar twice a week and like keep food journals. I just found like one of my old food journals, and you know, again, I was doing it. I was always really interested in nutrition, and so I was doing it out of like these other reasons that I had read in magazines, like, oh, like sleep better and, you know, record what you eat and then record like how you feel the next day, and the goal is like optimal health. But really for me, when I was 15 and had just moved to a public high school for the first time, the goal was to like stop gaining the 20 pounds and the stretch marks that I was gonna end up gaining over the course of that year. So that's why I would label them as disordered, just because like they weren't right, they weren't like appropriate, you know. I had no health concerns. And then I was also thinking, though, the other day in conjunction with that, like learning about nutrition from a young age and being disciplined, I was a very self-disciplined young person. So some of those like totally unnecessary practices that I put myself through, I do think resulted in me as an adult like having the wherewithal to think about, consider carefully like what I put in my body. And also I think I just have like a good general understanding of health and nutrition, and I think that I have since I was really young. But I also did things like went on a leek diet where I just ate nothing but leek soup for like 2 days. And like my mom did it with me and I was in high school, and looking back I'm like, what the heck? So stuff like that's like, no one ever needs to do it. I read that French woman did it. But so I'm a little bit torn on that, in terms of like the pros and cons, but all that to just underscore the fact that, like, when I was growing up, like probably every girl raised in a Western society, I thought that if I gained any weight, it was a, you know, transgression. And I felt like I had some kind of, like, imaginary duty to keep myself from getting any bigger ever. So I remember being 140 pounds, probably 5'9" in my freshman year of high school, and really wanting to lose 10 pounds. And it's like, I don't even know why I thought that losing 10 pounds was an option or a possibility. But for some reason I did, and so I, like, was counting, basically counting my macros before it was cool. And I, like, cried over my stretch marks and all this stuff, which also there were other factors going on. I was going through transition and, you know, there were multiple stress points there. So actually that didn't make it easier to accept my changing body. But all that to say, I'm a very healthy, well-adjusted adult, and I struggled with that as a young girl. And I don't think there's a girl that would say that she hasn't. And then even up until, like, present day, sometimes I go through phases where I just, like, get really excited about, like, being much skinnier than I normally am. And then I go through these periods of time where I'm, like, really not eating a lot at all. When I do eat, eating things that are not nourishing to my body, and working out hardcore. And, you know, I have, again, all kinds of justifications. Like, I really like to be able to do physically demanding things with my body, and but a lot of it is just like, oh, when I see people that I haven't seen for a year, I want them to think that I look fantastic. And then, of course, we have all of these, like, invisible strings that are drawn to the word fantastic and what that is defined as. So, yeah, it's not new and it's not odd for girls to feel that way. Okay, so about a year ago, when I met my now boyfriend and started hanging out with him and all his friends, they were all still in college, and they were not the kind of, well, that's not really fair. I should say they were a particular kind of a college guy, or like a young male, that I hadn't interacted with a ton before, who they just do not care about working out or, like, making their bodies look like the, according to the male standard of physical attractiveness. And to me, it always seemed, I guess I'd always hung around people who were, like, also just healthy. And so working out was, like, a part of being healthy. But then also, of course, it was about, you know, keeping in shape and looking good and looking nice, looking presentable, and looking like what we've defined as a standard of attractiveness, at least, like, reasonably, at least, like, yeah, threshold, or, like, a range of physical appearance that is, like, acceptable to normal societal standards. And they were just, like, so, I think part of it probably was because they were, like, seniors in college. They just, like, could not give two craps about what their physique looked like. I'd hung out with people like this before in my life, where it was like, you just eat the food that you need to eat, to live, to do the work that you need to do, to, you know, spend time with people that you want to spend time with. And outside of that, you don't really think too much about the physical activity or the food that you're eating. And that kind of made perfect sense, because it's like, when you work out a lot to look a certain way, then you have to eat more. And then it's like, you're just literally, or you have to eat a certain way. Then it's like, you're literally just fueling your appearance with food. And it's so weird. And sometimes you're fueling your appearance with no food and you're just running on fumes. That would be more of a girl situation, I think. Although, of course, there are boys who starve themselves too. But hanging out with them, and my boyfriend in particular, it was just, like, very liberating. And I started to think, that was the beginning of about a year of time where I did very little physical activity outside of like normal daily stuff, you know, or like my weekly yoga at the library and walking my dog, stuff like that. Stuff that I enjoyed enough to do and didn't like take away from other things that I was doing, all the other very important things that I had to do. But like not working out, I should say. So I didn't work out, and I really did not think about what food I was eating in any way, shape, or form, which I mentioned before, for like a year. I gained about like 15 pounds maybe. My physical appearance did not change that much, except for like very slightly. Nobody commented or remarked about the weight that I had gained. And then I also started like this thought experiment of just being like, what if I just pretend like this doesn't matter? And then it turned out that it really didn't seem to matter that much. And so I was practicing that on myself. The more that I practiced that, the more I, first of all, became like really sensitive and aware to all of the value judgments that people, and I want to say particularly women as a whole, and some men that I know too, place on like food in general, but also on bodies just in general. So, you know, we say, and on our abilities, like people say all the time, like, oh, I can't eat that, or I have to work out, or when we see somebody and they've lost weight, we just tell them that they look good, and we just connote that directly with losing weight and being smaller. We don't even say like, oh, because you lost weight, you look good, or you look better. We just like say you look good as a blanket statement, and everyone, including the person we're talking to, is supposed to understand that we mean that they're smaller. And part of my like fears when I was younger really stemmed from a fear of being bigger. Now, I'm already tall and big boned, but I am thin, and I've always been thin. And even though, you know, I couldn't buy like the junior's jeans at Target after I was like 16 years old, because even the biggest size didn't fit me, I still like nobody in my life, except for one time I was little, and I remember my mom saying that I should just practice eating until I was satisfied. Touche, mom. Still quality advice. But you know, nobody's ever told me that I need to lose weight, or that I could stand to lose weight, or anything like that. Oh, and my dad once said that I was the biggest Spalding, which is just not true. But yeah, we just associate like being big as being bad, or being bigger as being worse, being smaller as being better, and being small, the smallest, as being the best for women. I started just thinking things like not allowing the thought that my stomach that had gotten bigger and was like hanging out of my jeans or whatever was gross. Just like acknowledging that thought entering my mind and expelling it, and not thinking that like the back of my armpits look so bad because they're like a little bit bigger. And just like practicing these small little acceptances of my body meant that like when I was at yoga and I saw like the woman in front of me, her like back fat over her bra, I didn't feel things like pity or like disgust, and because I wasn't like secretly harboring those thoughts about my own body, so I didn't have to also include them about other people's bodies. So this is where I'm going to try to like make the delicate transition from talking about the internal shame that I think that most women in America with it, they've experienced at one point or another in their lives, and talk about like the public shame that people who have bigger bodies are subjected to. So one thing that I think I picked up about the body positivity movement is that people in small, well-represented bodies have co-opted the term body positivity to talk about specific parts of their body that they feel internal shame about. Like, for example, 1/2 inch of cellulite on one butt cheek. And then they say, like, they publicly discuss body positivity in that context. Whereas it's really made for someone who, or not someone, but bodies that are holes, that are not well represented in society, to be able to claim that and say, like, my worth, my value, my health, my beauty, my appearance, my attractiveness, my social standing, none of those things are affected by my weight or even my physical appearance. So I guess the dichotomy that I want to talk about here is when, you know, a lot of people have had this experience where your toothpick friend is trying something on and she's talking about her wide hips. And you're like, what the heck do you think my hips are if your hips are wide? And there's like a great possibility, you know, body dysmorphia is real and someone can look at their own body and have a really flawed understanding of its objective appearance in the real world. Also, I think that when you think something like that about your own body, it just becomes that much easier to think it about other people's bodies. Sit down. Okay, good girl. And then it's kind of like we like add up all of those little insecurities that we have about our own body that like each person has about each different body part because they're all different. And then it's like a conglomeration of social insecurities, things that we don't want to see, definitely not in the mirror, but also not on another person. And then we construct our social hierarchy out of that collective insecurity. And then that's where our like prejudice against fat people comes from. And that's why we talk about such a desperate tone of being like, oh, I have to do this. I can't do that. You know, like these imperatives, because God forbid we ever become a fat person. And so on the one hand, you have thin people in thin bodies who, I don't think it's just motivated, like insecurity is just motivated by the fear of being fat, but so I think that sometimes it's also motivated by a fear of not being ideal. And you know, there's certainly an ideal, a female beauty standard, which some people laugh at because they say like nobody, like none of the people who matter even care about that. Like nobody cares if you don't have cellulite, nobody cares if you have a muffin top, nobody cares if you have like discolored skin on your hands. Like all that stuff is just marketed to us as like the goal. But then once people are like past a certain invisible line of like bigness, then it's like they're nowhere near the ideal. It's their obligation to like get closer. Oh, I feel really bad that I haven't mentioned her yet, but Dana Falsetti is basically the person that I've been like learning all this stuff from. Her Instagram account is Nola Trees, and she's a yogi, and I first found her when like there was this kerfuffle about on an Instagram account where I guess like she had gone on a rant, which is like very normal for her, and about like the tiny representation no double entendre intended, in the like mainstream commercial yoga space. Just basically, you know, the fact that like some companies and most like social media presence, it's like all very tiny girls or very muscular men who are like really playing up their sex appeal, like selling yoga basically. So that's when I first found out about her. And then I feel like I've just, like, learned a lot of really good stuff from what she brings up and brings attention to. All that to say that it's, like, it feels very debilitating to listen to a group of women. And, okay, so on Jesse's and my podcast, we talked about things we have in common. And one of the things that we brought up was that we don't, like, bash ourselves and, like, our eating habits and our bodies when we're hanging out together, which, you know, on the one hand is like, oh, yay, like, women empowerment, and we don't have to do that. But on the other hand, it's like, well, duh, you don't do that because, you know, we both have bodies that are represented in and accepted by society. So it's, like, not the bravest thing ever to just sit around and, like, let our bodies just be totally okay with society, because that's what they are already. Being with a group of women, hearing them talk about their eating habits, what they have to do to lose weight, what they have done to lose weight, the restrictions and the deprivation that they put on themselves in order to fit a really, like, honestly impossible and also honestly mostly made up standard. It's just so depressing and honestly, like, so boring and such a waste of time. But, and you don't hear guys talk about, like, I was talking about working out. But again, that would be, like, getting closer to the ideal and not, like, getting farther away from the, like, bane of society. Something that I've, like, thought about is comparing, because a lot of people say, like, obesity is an epidemic. America has, like, the worst overweight rates in the world, and our portion sizes are crazy. The food we eat is so processed, and, like, definitely all those things are valid, and that, like, obesity and overweightness is, like, a health risk, all this stuff. But we really do, like, give ourselves so much freedom to determine a person's health status or conditions, even, like, just based on what they look like and how we see them, more than explicitly and exponentially more than we do for anything else. So, like, for example, alcoholism, or just, like, overconsumption of alcohol, like, even if it's not a dependency, we just, like, absolutely praise it. So if you have a thin, blonde, beautiful, white girl who advertises how much alcohol she drinks, she can build an entire following off of that, and, like, off of being funny and off of being ridiculous and being a spectacle and all this stuff. And, you know, if you had a person who's a public figure who, you know, talked about binging or about, like, just overeating in general, they'd be met with so much backlash and so much criticism, because even, like, people who are in the public eye who are athletes or who are active, who are overweight, are still met with so much of that, like, you know, comments about people telling them that they can lose weight if they try hard enough. It's like I was talking about in the second episode about, like, us putting that moral weight on the food that we eat. There's also, like, a moral weight on your appearance. So if you look a certain way, you have a duty to do everything you possibly can, including be miserable and unhappy, go through surgery, like, all this stuff, just to fall within the acceptable range of appearance, which is crazy. And we don't treat anything else at all like that in our country. So I've been trying to, like, practice some certain things myself in relation to all this that I've been learning, which is not a ton, but I found, like, different Instagram accounts to be really helpful. And one of the things that Dana says too is just to, like, diversify your feed, like, what you're seeing every day. So just like straight up true that when I first made my Instagram account, or I was first like getting really active on it, and I was looking for different accounts to follow, different things that I want to see in my feed. I still right now have so many accounts that are just like, they're just stick thin models or yogis who I followed just because of the way that they looked. And it's because they looked like a very particular way. And that's like what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted to fill my, the way I spend like a good chunk of my day with, just looking at. And so since then, you know, I still follow them, a lot of them, because now I like know them. But they're definitely, you know, the girls who like post pictures of themselves being like, oh, these pictures were taken 5 seconds apart from each other and look how different they are. And it's like, what? Like, your supposed before picture is like all I've ever wanted in life. Just kidding. That's an example of something we women say that is not good. But, you know, like, girls who post pictures of their tiny little stomach rolls and are like, hey, everybody has rolls, it's okay. Even though we all know that they're, like, well, because we can see it, not talking about, like, actual rolls of fat. They're just talking about those little bendies that happen when you're a human being and you have a skin organ covering the outside of your body. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been practicing, like, self-love and other love and, yep, following different kinds of people on Instagram that look different ways, and the stuff that they have to talk about just happens to be different, probably because they're on a, like, visually based platform and choosing to show themselves on it. I can't remember what I was just going to say. I hope you can hear Sophie munching on her yummy dinner in the background. Obviously, okay, so people always seem to bring up, like, anorexia shaming, or, like, body shaming is like based on being too skinny, and definitely like no one should ever say that someone else is too skinny to anyone else or over the internet, but also I think like, and no body shaming is ever okay, but the kind that is directed at a person who everyone in advertising looks like, and it's probably because like they're actually jealous of you and not because they like think that your body looks gross. I think that that's a little bit different. And also just have to say that like when we make comments about people's overweight appearance, I don't think that very often we're like very acutely, you know, concerned about their physiology or like their functioning organ systems, and I don't think we really have concern for their blood pressure, triglycerides, or anything like that. I think that it's really more of just looking at them and having like a really negative reaction to the way that they look, and only that. So I had such a good wrap up comment, you guys, and I have no idea what it is. I can't remember. Oh well. Oh, I remember what I was gonna say. I think like something that I've been keeping in mind while I'm doing Whole 30 that has kind of helped me, because I won't lie, like I've looked at my stomach in the mirror like 100 times since I started this. I have not weighed myself, but you know, every once in a while I get this thought where I'm like, oh my gosh, and then I'm gonna have a 6-pack and it's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna be so sexy. I'm gonna like take Instagram pictures in my crop top. But then I check myself and I say like, hey, if I were doing the Whole 30 and I only gained weight, but I still knew like how much healthier I was getting, would I be okay with it? So that's kind of my like mental check-in with myself about like, what's the reason that I'm doing this? Is it really important, or is it just so that I can like be even more elite in my body status than I already am? And I would kind of encourage people, I don't think that Dallas and Melissa would speak too highly of this recommendation, but like, you know, do like, if you're a person who's like, thinks that your body is so not good enough, or like, you're dangerously close to like becoming overweight or something, just like a reality check, do like an anti-Whole30 and go for like 30 days or like 6 months. There's a plane. Just like go for an extended period of time, like not thinking about what you're eating and not working out at all, and just like observe what happens to your body, and you'll probably get a pretty good idea for the fact that our bodies really do not like fluctuate and change that much depending on the physical activity that we're doing and the food that we're eating, and that all of our individual bodies are like really kind of just these unique baselines, and it's really hard to change them drastically in one way or another unless you like go to extreme measures, which usually those extreme measures are like not the coolest or healthiest or most enjoyable things in the world, and so there's really not a reason to be doing them. The end. Guys, thanks for listening. In my blog post for this episode, I'm going to have some definitions of represented and non-represented bodies that Dana posted, and maybe some other like helpful resources or just food for thought that other people have written. I want to preface this whole thing by saying that like I'm a very well-represented person. If you're listening to this and you don't know what I look like, I am like thin, white, American. You know, when somebody sees me, they have almost no reason to react negatively to me based on any like societal prejudices or made up standards. And I'm also not predisposed, like I said before, to eating disorders, even though I talked about a little bit about like disordered thought behavior or thought patterns or something like that. But I've never been diagnosed or struggled with an eating disorder, or unhealthily low weight. So on either end of the spectrum, either like very thin or very big, I do not have any personal experience. And so I am saying all of this as a learner, and I'm just like filling my own corner of the internet void echo chamber with my voice and thoughts, just mostly for the purpose of personal processing and, also sharing a little bit. I think like this is a great thing to talk more about, and just like be more aware of. But I would redirect you guys to Body Positivity People on Instagram, and other places, but you know, Instagram is where we spend all of our time. Yeah. And just people who have done some good thinking about like why we do the things that we do to our bodies and why we shame other people's bodies the way that we do. And, if there is a point to any of it. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.